Blog Talk Radio.
Live from Fort Bragg's backyard, this is the show that...
Hey.
See, that wasn't supposed to happen. Let me tell you what, all the technical difficulties today. Sorry for the delay, as I've been trying to call in as the host for the last, God knows how many minutes, and finally let me in. But I want to welcome everybody to another episode of Racing with Big Sled. Pretty big show tonight, pretty big deal. I'm not going to go into the details. I'm going to let Chris have the honor as the host. But it's a big deal for us to speak on Racing with Big Sled. So, looking forward to being part of this very important show to us. And look forward to talking to our guests and having Craig in the studio with me. Before I plug you, Chris, I want to make sure that you guys find us on Twitter at 110 Nation or give us a follow on Twitter at 110 Nation. Give us a like on Facebook, 110 Nation Sports. Check out our site, www.110nationsports.com. I got to thank Fit for Life, I-95 Sports Network, and Mile High Radio for helping make all this possible. Without these great marketing partners and networks, we wouldn't be able to do what we do and grow the way we grow. I got to make sure I thank them. I want to step to the side. I don't know if I said my name is DJ Sports or not, but you guys can follow me at DJ Sports 1 on Twitter. But I'm going to step to the side. I'm going to let the man of the hour take over and run this ship. And I'm going to be right here by his side in this very important episode. We do, Chris, to let you know, we do have our first guest that has called in. So he has called in. So without any further delay, Chris, how you doing tonight?
Oh, how the hell are you? Another episode of Racing with Big Sweat. Start things off tonight. You know, we kind of dropped the ball here, but... You know, before we get started, I don't talk much about my personal life or nothing like that. But, you know, that's what they're here for. They're here to be entertained for racing. I had three people disconnect because I said something. But I want to tell you something special that I felt in my heart special. And it just it seems to have happened over and over again in my life. mother and I were... when I was young, didn't talk to her for a long time, and finally one day I went to the lady who was raising me, my mom, and I told her I wanted to reach out and talk to my mother, and she did. And when I got to talk to my mother, she was, you know, she was a rich woman. She worked at the Huddle House, and so I got a hold of her there, and as we were talking, she said, "You just gave me the best birthday present ever." I was like, "Wow, you know, I haven't talked to you in so many years." I was young, I was about 13 or so. I said, "I haven't talked to you in all these years, and I wind up calling you on your birthday." And well, my first was born on my birthday. First child I ever had, I was 20 years old, 20 when I was born. What happens that my oldest son and my dad, birthday December 8th. So, you know, when we first come out with all this, we want to do something for Steve. Of course, we never forget about Steve. We always talk about Steve. Steve Billmer was my crew chief. He was everybody's crew chief. I think Steve Valley is touching our heart, talking to us, and keeping us motivated. Said I'm making it pretty bad. Okay, hold on. Okay. Can give me just 1 second here. I'm gonna call in from the number.
Okay. Chris is switching lines real quick.
I'm still here. All right. I'll be on there in just a second. This may echo. Is it? Yeah. Okay. So
Are you there? Oh, you called me the line. All right, you're in. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in now. Okay.
Much better.
So, anyway, as I was saying, guys, when all this come about to celebrate Steve's birthday, or Steve Billmeyer Day, we decided to bring in the 9-1, and in memory of his card number 91, September 1st is of course 9-1, and I was all gung ho on making sure that show was going to be the best because it's on a Thursday, and I messed up and I didn't see it on the calendar until it was too late, and so today, out of nowhere, I was pretty down about it, pretty down and out, and but today I found out that it's Steve Billmeyer's daughter's birthday, and I tell you what, if I'd have just listened and kept on pushing, we would have had a great, even better show tonight. But I'll be honest with you guys, I got discouraged, and I kind of feel like I dropped the ball because I wanted to celebrate Steve and all that he did for me and all that he's done for the 110 Nation group. And so then when I found out that it was Lindsey Robertson's birthday, it brought back that kind of connection that maybe I wasn't wrong. Maybe I never thought of it. The calendar was right. Maybe this was supposed to be a celebration to Lindsey for being her birthday. I don't know if she's listening tonight. If she is, I just want to tell you happy birthday. And we love what your father has done for us and the motivation that he's given us after he's been gone. And if you're listening tonight, just because it's your birthday and of course this show carries your father's name, just understand from the bottom of our hearts that even planning something special for Steve was difficult for us. We feel the pain and the emotion, and we feel the loss and disconnect. But tonight, I want to celebrate how wonderful it was to have Steve on the air. And we're going to go back to being, the racing show that we are, and we're going to continue on, so to speak. And tonight, I've got a special guest, a very special guest, Tyler Sistrunk. Tyler, I've gotten to know Tyler throughout the last 4 years, and I tell you what, you're talking about a dedicated Christian young man that's going to come on the radio here. I mean, Tyler is the poster child of what I would want my own children to be if they were given the opportunity to represent the family in racing. And Tyler and I have gotten to know each other. We knew each other before Steve Billmeyer and I even hooked up on the radio. And so throughout the last 4 years, I've kind of gotten to watch this kid grow. And I don't mean to call him a kid because he's definitely a young man. But, last year he had the most awesome season ever, 16 wins. Just the excitement that Tyler had when he was on the air with us. And Steve loved a winner, y'all. I'm telling you, Steve Billmeyer loved to talk to the people who knew how to get it done because he himself had that drive to be the best at whatever it is that he was doing, including his radio show. I mean, Racing with Big Sweat wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Steve Billmeyer. And I would have cast it away from the radio scene a long time ago if it wasn't for Steve. So I do want to give all the birthday wishes to Lindsey, and I hope that she's listening tonight. And I know Tyler's in the backdrop there, and he's waiting. And, guys, I'm not trying to tear anybody up. I promise you when I planned all this, I just thought it was by miracle that, 9-1 landed on a Thursday, and so everything was going to be great. And I miscalculated. But, guys, being that it's Lindsey's birthday, I'm not sure that I miscalculated. I think I just failed to follow through. And a lot of times your heart leads you into things, and you don't know who's talking to you or who's pushing you. But take it as a lesson learned from myself tonight that keep on pushing even if you know that you've completely messed it all up and continue to drive no matter what gets up underneath you, no matter what rug's pulled or how many tires fall off your car. Just keep digging, y'all. Just keep digging. I think that's what I've learned from Steve Billmeyer more than anything is just to keep on digging. I'm not going to take up any more of this airtime. I want to bring on Tyler, and I want to let him, this young man, tell us about his his year this year. He's not had such a great year this year, guys. But we're going to let Tyler come on and tell us about some exciting news that he has coming up. And he's sending us some T-shirts to give away, so we're excited about that. I'm actually away right now, CJ Sports, from the live feed. I need somebody to check that and make sure all's good. I did have to use an alternate source to do the interview. So if I need to improve the sound or anything like that, you guys just let me know. I'm not around a device right now, so CJ, you know how to handle that one. But Mr. No more waiting. For no further ado, let's bring in Tyler Sister. How you doing, Mr. Lake City Lamborghini driver?
Chris Creighton, my man. What is going on?
I tell you what, we are the perfect combo when it comes to PR. I tell you what, Tyler, if you ever decided to quit racing cars, then I tell you, these promoters would be crazy as heck not to hire you to help promote their races. Because, Tyler, I tell you what, you've always had this awesome brand. You've been able to market yourself really well, and compliments to that, sir. Compliments for sure.
Well, hey, I really appreciate the compliment, man. I do it because I love it, and the way I see it is that no one can market yourself better than yourself. As a matter of fact, as far as PR, I've started to venture towards kind of some part-time gigs, if Lord blesses me with it. But I am looking to kind of work my way into something of promoting on the part-time, kind of on the side. So I'm looking for, you know, for some racetracks to promote, and on top of promoting myself and dirt track racing all around. So it's I'm looking forward to it.
Well, I tell you what, Tyler, I've got plenty of people I could team you up with, but knowing you, brother, you've already got your game plan. You're ready, set, go. Tyler, we talked to you in the earlier part of the year, and you were really excited about the season. Kind of fill in the guest and all of how your season's gone.
Well, if you guys follow us on Facebook at Tyler Sis Trunk Motorsports, earlier in the year in February, we unveiled the brand new Lake City Lamborghini with an all new look, all new body, new race suit, and we were just on fire. We were going to set the South on fire with what we planned on doing. We had high hopes, high expectations coming off of 2016 with two track championships, 13 wins, 31 top five finishes. I mean, we were setting it on fire. And then the first race of the season came around. We were really excited. We went to Needmore Speedway up in Georgia, our very first out-of-state race. We were racing with the Neesmith Street Stocks and found out that we were a little outclassed. We were kind of in the middle of the pack. You know, we were started in the back, but we started working our way up. We were definitely a subpar top five car. And then kind of halfway through the race, car in front of us spun around and took the whole right front of my nose off. And that was basically the end of that. That put us on a shelf for about a month. So we got everything fixed.
Now hold up, Tyler. Hold up just one second. Now, you're telling me that your season in 2017 started out almost exactly like 2015.
Or
was it 2016? It was
2016 was the same thing. Car in front of me spun out and had nowhere to go. And 2015 was the same thing. I mean, I almost want to wait and kind of start a couple of weeks after because I don't want to tear up a car with somebody spinning out in front of me because that's how the past three seasons have gone. The first race of the season, I have nowhere to go.
Now, I tell you what, things have gotten a little bit better for you now, though. Your season's progressed on. You're back full-time racing again, right? You said you had to take a month off. What happened?
Well, here's kind of just our season in a nutshell of how things have gone. First race of the season, DNF. Got taken out midway of the race. And, again, that put us on a shelf for about a month. We got everything fixed. We went back, and the car just never really handled right afterwards, but we were progressing to getting it back to where it was. And went, let's see here, we went to, I believe it was North Florida Speedway, where he went and got another wreck again, another DNF. And that put us on the shelf for about another month. Got it all fixed up. Going to try to do it one more time. Again, took it back out to a couple of other races. Car didn't handle that good, but we were getting it back to where it needs to be. And then we go down to Volusia about 2 months ago for a $2,500 to win 40-lap race. Started way dead and back in the last. And started going up. We were in like 17th place. It was real dry slick, real dusty. Couldn't really see 10 feet in front of you. And four laps into it, going into turn one, I'm in about 17th place now. I see the leader looking dead at me. And I see all the rest of the cars scattering. And we're barreling into turn one, you know, doing 90, 100 miles an hour. And at the last second, I had nowhere to go. I looked for a hole and just tried to steer the car to it and slam on the brakes. And instead of hitting the driver or the leader nose to nose, I hit them door to nose, and then another car pile-drived into me. And that was pretty much the last nail in the coffin for my car currently. We've got a couple of Band-Aids on it, and we're going to finish out the season with what we can. But as I mentioned when I was on the show last time, that we are building a brand-new car for the 2018 season. And it is – I'll go ahead and put it this way. We are going to be the toughest competition in the South in 2018 for I'm putting all of South of the Mason-Dixon on notice, is that we will be the toughest competition in 2018.
Now, I tell you what, we've had some heavy hitters on here in the last couple of weeks, Tyler. I guarantee you, Donnie Ashford and Brian Morgan and those crews from down that way, they'll take you on that challenge. But I tell you what, now you've been successful in a car that's not even brand new, right? The last car that you've driven, you've had that car for a few years.
I've been racing the same car since 2009, almost 10 years, 8 years. So we've had an outdated, worn out, bent, beat up, broken down, patched back together, and bent again car for the past couple of years, and we've made it work. But now we've got new equipment. We've got a new car, a new chassis, the one that's going to be right the first time that it's out, where we don't have to do all of the guesswork. It's going to be right the first time it leaves. Yeah, we'll have to do some adjusting here and there, but Donnie Ashford and Brian Morgan, those two are good dudes. I love racing with those guys. They race clean. And, they're some of the best competition in the South. And I love racing with them because they make my racing and my driving ability better, because I'm racing with better competition with those guys, because they are some heavy hitters.
They definitely are some heavy hitters. We got to see them firsthand. Now, you were expecting to be at the Southern Street Stock Nationals, but unfortunately, when your year went kabloomy, that pretty much took care of all the race funds. Well, and of course, likely you're building a new car, and that's a pretty bold statement there. So we're going to have to see if you can repeat that wonderful year that you had last year. Now tell me, your last year was such a phenomenal season. It was really your breakout. You had everything hitting on all cylinders. Tell us about this year and kind of the struggle of, piecing the car back together and just trying to finish out the season.
Well, we've raced a total of 11 races this year. Of course, we've had three DNFs, which each one of those DNFs kind of took us out for about a month. And I've got one win this year when we went up to Oglethorpe Speedway Park, which I love racing there. Unfortunately, this is the last year that they're going to be a 5/8 mile track. They're actually reconfiguring the track down to either a 3/8 or a half mile. But on a 5/8 mile track, our average speed is probably about 1:15 in a street stock. To see late models go around the track is unbelievable. They're doing 130-plus. They have to be doing 130-plus. But we did get one win at Oglethorpe, and that was awesome. That was kind of a good come-from-behind win, as we repaired the car from the damage from the very first wreck. And we've had little problems go wrong here, little problems go wrong there, but a good turning point was actually about 2 weeks ago when we went down to Bubba Raceway Park in Ocala. We won the heat race, started on the outside pole, and led until halfway. And Tommy Hill, who's a really great street stock driver down in the Tampa area, he actually won the race. The car just kind of started to fade, and we ended up finishing third, which is better than most of the finishes that I've had most of the year. But like what we always do, we always fall down seven times, get up eight, put the car back together, and we're going to finish off the rest of the season with what we have, and we'll be ready for 2018 when it gets here.
So she's took a licking, but she keeps on ticking. Tyler, is that the dedication inside of you, or is that the car holding together? Which one is it here?
It's a little bit of both. I don't know how much longer the car can hold together, though. I can tell you one thing, that my dedication is I want to be the best in the world. You know, whether it's with what I'm in or if it's driving for somebody else, that's what I want to be, whether it's on the microphone, in the driver's seat, on the internet, you know, doing PR. That's what I want to be, is the best in the world at it.
You're definitely a lot like me, Tyler. You're either all feet in or all feet out. You're completely dedicated to what you're doing. You've got the new car. It's sitting in the shop. You're getting pieces for it piece by piece. That's a good family time, right? There's a lot of bonding going on between you and your family members who are also your crew members.
Yes, sir. It's as a lot of people know, it's kind of as a family operation. You know, my dad is also my crew chief, and my mom, most of the time she can make it to the races. She is our, I call her my media professional, because she videos the races from the grandstands area. And to be honest, I make all of her video, and actually she makes my PR look good because she videos so well. So shout out to mom for being awesome.
Yeah, it takes those special pieces and the whole team to get things clicking. Now, Tyler, are you planning on running any more big races this year? And what is your idea about the street stocks right now and the grassroots racing connection that it has? Tell us about being a part of the boom right now in street stock racing.
Well, unfortunately, as far as going and running big races, 95% of what goes into the race, into my racing motorsports team, 95% of it comes out of my pocket. I've got a couple people that help me out financially here and there, but it's all funded by me, most of it. Dad helps us out as well, but as far as going out and racing these bigger races, we've kind of decided just to stay locally and race, because any money that we spend going to these bigger races where we know the car's just not capable of racing, with these upper levels and, the quality of the cars that they have, it's where we know we can't go there and perform well enough to kind of even out everything. So we're just going to be racing locally, and, here in Florida, probably not too far out, and we're just going to – anything that we can put back into the new car is what we're going to try to do. And as far as being a part of the grassroots dirt track racing, it's really exciting to be a part of. I love how – and I hate to put it this way, but, there's – quite a few asphalt tracks that are converting dirt tracks because of how popular dirt track racing is getting. And,
Mansfield was one of them, right? That's not from around there, but we've already seen this at other tracks. So what tracks are those, Tyler? I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Just here locally, the biggest named is at Alltech Raceway, which used to be Columbia Motorsports Park or Ellisville Speedway. It had a couple different names back in the day, but it's now Alltech Raceway, and it has just now reopened and is running limited schedule, but it's actually getting larger and larger, and that's one of our hometown tracks. It's about 10 minutes from my house. But it's great to be a part of this boom of street stock racing. You see the Neesmith sanctioning really growing. I get emails almost every other month, you know, saying that, you know, this track just joined with the sanctions and, you know, it's growing from, you know, Tennessee to Texas to Oklahoma. You know, it's really growing, and it's really cool to be a part of that. I'm hoping that sooner or later, you know, Florida tracks will start adopting this Neesmith sanction. That way we can get some more competition from the Georgia, Alabama, Louisiana, you know, area down, where we can, you know, maybe run some of the touring classes down here in Florida.
Yeah, it's really one of the first times in street stock history that so many tracks have run on the same rule package. And, you know, whether you want to sanction your track for national points or not, guys, really look at the rules that are laid out for the Neesmith street stocks. And with everybody running like that around here, man, you know, you can be a non-sanctioned track too. I mean, you know, just make sure that the rule package is the same. And I tell you, it's really made it a lot more available for guys to travel to other tracks. You know, basically the word around the pits is what gear you pulling. You know, Tyler, you've been to how many different tracks over the last few years?
We've been to about 7 or 8 tracks. We've practiced at a couple that we haven't had the opportunity to race at, but we've been to about 8 tracks here in Florida and Georgia.
Yeah, and that makes it a lot easier when you're able to travel around and enjoy the big races. There's a lot of money being put out for these guys. It's a $5,000 to win race this weekend up at Magnolia Motor Speedway, and you know, that's a lot of money there. They call it the Fall 40. Of course, the Southern Street Stock Nationals was just a couple of weeks ago. And of course, that paid $3,000 plus a whole lot of incentives. There was a lot of money on that purse. It wasn't just all on the top. There's a lot of big money going around, and the class is growing. It's exploding. We're seeing fresh drivers. I know you had to have heard. I don't know who didn't hear the 116 cars that we had at Wynot Motorsports Park 2 weeks ago. Tyler, that's a lot of cars.
Man, I've got to give a shout-out to the Philip Hatchcock. Name one other person that can pull over 100 cars for a $3,000 to win race. I mean,
you know, it's something about that place. it's definitely an honor just to be there and to be a part of it. It's definitely
really
a sight to see, and to see this thing grow. And you know, all compliments as well to Philip and Rodney. They've done a great job with this thing, and I expect it to only get bigger throughout the years, especially with these other tracks all coming up, you know, with the same rule package. IMCA Hobby Stocks have been around for a long time, and they've kind of set the standard on that series. But now here comes Neesmith, and it's made a difference in racing around here. That's for sure.
Yeah, Philip and Roddy did a great job with the Street Stock Nationals. I was really, really hoping that we were going to be able to attend, but that is the Super Bowl of Street Stock racing, is the Street Stock Nationals at Wynot. I can personally say that is on our schedule for next year. We are hoping to be able to debut the car. I've talked with you with it before, with the Battle of the States over at Wynot. We're hoping that's going to be our very first race. We're going to try to get a couple of test hits here locally before we do go. But you know how much I like wrestling, and you know I would love to have the opportunity to race for that title belt at the Battle of the States coming up in March of 2018.
That's right, and we'll be looking forward to having you, Tyler. So now we're getting the new car put together. You're going to go with the 602 crate, I guess, a new motor and all. Is it going to be? You say it's going to be the fastest hot rod around. What's the secret to it? Can you give it to us?
We're going to be the crate killer.
The crate killer. You're running an open motor.
We're running open motor.
Wow, interesting.
We've got a great motor builder with RH Performance out of Lake Butler. He's been a longtime friend of my family, and he's really more of a drag racing forward guy. But, man, he can build some awesome Chevy motors.
I love it. I love it. Wasn't expecting that one, Tyler. That's something we just threw out there. I definitely did not know that. But now you're getting all this done at one time. The car is going to be a pretty piece. We're gonna kind of be able to get a sneak peek of this car, right?
Oh, I'll throw some sneak peeks. You know, with working PR, you got to throw some sneak peeks to let everybody get a taste of it.
It'll be completely confidential too. Everybody knows that. So.
Yeah.
I'll be the only one seeing it.
That's a testament of RH performance in our 2016 season. Think of this. One race night, you've got hot laps, you've got heat race, and you got a feature race and running, through the pits and whatnot. We ran 43 races last year without having to go into the motor.
That's amazing. 43 races without one time. Now, that's a dependable motor builder. You care to share his name?
Yes, sir. It's Tony Honor with RH Performance.
Now, Tyler, we're getting close to the end of the hour here, the end of the 30 minutes, and we'll have to shift on into the next topics. But you have quite a few people that surround you, and I know that you like to take this opportunity to give a shout-out to them.
Well, I do want to thank all of my sponsors, and especially my mom and dad. They are always there for me. They're my crew chief and my media personnel, so I've got to thank them. I've also got to thank Friendly Company Buildings with Graceland Portable Buildings and all my other sponsors. Guys, if you haven't already, check us out on YouTube. It's youtube.com/ Tyler Sistrunk Motorsports. Same thing with Facebook and Instagram. You can catch us there. I appreciate being on the show, and I also want to say our thoughts and prayers are with everyone over in Texas and the areas that have been affected by Hurricane Harvey. We want everybody to stay safe out there, and if there's anything that you can do to donate to the relief of the people affected, please, we encourage you to do that.
And Tyler, as always, you're a class act. It's a privilege to have a guy like you come on our show here, and really, you can be a testament of how long we've actually been on the radio. We've been doing this thing for quite a while, and We don't go out there begging for folks to listen to us, but I tell you what, when you can get a guy like Tyler Sistrunk to come on your show all the time and whenever we basically ask, we got to be doing something right. So a shout-out to all the guys here at the 110 Nation for being able to build up a relationship with some of these drivers and let them come on here and be able to share their stories. It's really awesome to be able to get the in-depth from the driver.
Well, hey, I want to thank you guys and everybody at the 110 Nation for giving the spotlight to the drivers and the promoters and the tracks here locally and abroad throughout the South as far as dirt track racing. Without the help from you guys, it'd be that much harder for us to try to promote what we love and get fans out in the stands. So you guys, you especially, Chris, you do an awesome job promoting dirt track racing. So I want to thank you, and again, thank everybody at the 110 Nation. And thank you again for letting me come on the radio show. I love being a part of it. Give me a call anytime. I'm ready to talk.
All right, Tyler. Thank you. Thank you so much. Well, race fans, that's Tyler Sistrunk from Lake City, Florida. He's got some big things coming along for next year. New car, new motor. I forgot to ask him what was his Bible verse for next year, if he'd already got that one thought out too. So if he's still in the backdrop there, maybe he'll send it to me. But just a great guy. Tyler Sistrunk is really a class act, and that's always what we have on this show is guys with a lot of class. Speaking of which, I've had two guys in the backdrop here. My co-host, Craig Moore. Craig, are you there?
I am, buddy.
See how awesome that is. Like I have hardly any communication with these guys, and they just I work with a great team. People give us compliments and all, guys. I promise you, it's the team that surrounds us. Everybody's willing to work for the other, and it's just a privilege to have the atmosphere that we've created here at the 110 Nation. CJ Sports, you there, man?
Is that I am?
Oh my gosh! How about Tyler Sistrom? Is that just not? I mean, that's just gold, man. It doesn't get any easier than that, does it?
Oh no.
No, that kid is, and I say kid because I have a kid older than him, but he's definitely got his stuff together. And just listening to him and how mature he is for 24 years old, and he's got his plan all set out. That's just phenomenal.
I mean, if y'all seen some of the pictures and all? The guy, he's really. This is a family that come into dirt track racing. This was a kid who stood at the fences and wanted to drive a race car, and his dad gave him the opportunity to, and has, you know, been basically a family ordeal from day one. And like I said, over the last 4 years, I've watched Tyler, you know, kind of, I guess, you know, grow. I mean, 20 years old, now he's 24, you know. It's definitely awesome to see him progress. And to have the year that he had last year was phenomenal. And then, guys, I mean, he's out there in a 2009. It sounds like the Jeremy Clement story, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
It's always cool how that reaches back and relates to it. CJ, you know, can you recall the first time that we had Tyler Sistrunk on the show?
I remember him being on. I don't remember much of the show. You got to figure there's a lot of shows over the last 4 years.
Oh gosh!
But I do remember him coming on.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and that's one thing about it. These shows go 3-4 days a week every day of the year. I do take a little time off from November to January, but that's I'm always working behind the scenes, guys. Y'all know that. So, but yeah, we interviewed Tyler back in 2014, I think it was, for the first time on this show. I think I had Tyler on my other show. I'll have to go back and check those records there. But like I said, he sent me a shirt back in 2013, and so I know that the relationship goes back at least that far. But just an awesome kid and really got his junk together, if I can say that. But now we're going to segue on into the asphalt side, of course, only on Yellow Caution Flag Racing Radio can you get the dirt track and then the asphalt too. So we're going to shift gears and go into our NASCAR talk. Now, guys, I haven't been a part of the NASCAR talk in a couple weeks, man. Y'all know I've got a notebook full, but just a short time to get there. So GMS comes out and says they will not field a cup car next year. Rumor through JSki.com is that now Casey Kane may be the top driver for the 95 car. Guys, I didn't know that the 95 car was going to make a driver change. Mr. CJ Sports, what do you feel about that?
I didn't either. I saw that earlier today. I don't know, it kind of makes me feel that now Casey Kane's going to be kind of stuck in the same situation Clint Bowyer was while he was waiting for a legitimate ride to open up. And now you kind of, I don't know, I kind of feel bad for Casey Kane because we see how it affected Clint Bowyer, and he's had to work really hard this year to kind of reestablish his brand and be kind of a factor. And, you know, it's going to be a tough year for Casey Kane. I guess this will really show us how much of a driver he really is if he can do something in that 95 car, if that's where he lands.
Craig, what's your take on it?
You know, Casey's pretty much, and I hate to say this, but he's pretty much in the twilight of his career. And I hear the eerie silence in the background, but he's run with Hendrick for a couple of years, really did nothing. Now he's going to go to the 95 team, and like CJ said, he's going to wait until the ride comes open. I just don't see where it's going to be real healthy for Casey Kane stock. I wouldn't put a whole lot of stock into it. I mean, we'll see what happens once something comes available. Does it get a kick in the pants, so to speak, and it lights a fire under him? I hope so.
And my take on it is, to be honest with you, CJ, you had a great point there, and Craig Moore, you know, I like your point as well. But to me, it sounds like he becomes the 5 car. He still stays the 5 car. You add a 9 in front of it. And the same nunchuck cars that he had this year that he can't win in, he's going to be driving next year that he can't win in.
Absolutely.
In that situation, it just doesn't really seem like it's a win-win for Casey Kane. And I would almost wonder why he would even accept a ride from Hendrick and not try to cash in on his marketability and wind up over at maybe Tony Stewart, Stuart Haas, or maybe even, you know, Richard Petty Motorsports, somewhere that you know, he could be very marketable. And he had a short stint with Richard Petty Motorsports already, and that didn't work out too well. So I don't want to point him just towards the Ford team, but, you know, where's Richard Childress in all this? I know he has an open ride.
You know, Ty Dillon's getting that ride. That's why
that's why
it's not even been talked about. That's not even ever been a topic of conversation at any point, even though we know that ride was opened up in RCR. Because I don't think anybody believes anything other than the fact that Ty Dillon will be in that carnage.
Well, and that opens the door for the 13 car with Geico, the sponsorship. And it really, it amazes me that we're all the way into, you know, tomorrow's September 1, and there's some top-notch guys that, you know, there may be some forced retirement this year. And also, I'm really concerned about starting the Daytona 500 off with less than 32 teams. I know that things seem to be moving in the right direction, but NASCAR needs a manufacturer to step up, or they need to – the teams need to bring an extra car or something, because the downsizing is very noticeable. And that brings us into another subject with Richard Petty Motorsports. It was released this week that Richard Petty Motorsports was going to be moving out of their shop. Of course, this was the former Robert Yates Racing shop. Petty Motorsports had been in there at a previous time and had moved back in, but the lease comes up at the end of the year, and they will be moving out of their shop now that they are just a one-car team. So it doesn't look like RPM is going to be expanding. And was this kind of news to you, CJ Sports?
Yeah, I mean, it was news to me. I thought things were a little bit better over there. I felt that Eric Amarillo, for the talent level that he is, has done really well over there for the 43 car. It's a topic that Mike and myself have had many times, it being Richard Petty Motorsports, the king of racing. Why is there not better drivers driving over there? I would love to know what it is that the king of racing is not able to get better sponsors and better drivers and be a more competitive team. That really blows my mind. But, I mean, you know, it's kind of be expected if you're not really – known for attracting a bunch of sponsors, you're getting mid-of-the-pack drivers. At some point, there's going to have to be cuts and changes. And so I guess, you know, it's a result of what we've seen, but it was news at the same time.
Craig?
Okay. I had not heard anything about that, but I've been flying under the radar. As you guys might know, I've been dealing with a tremendous cold. I've been laying pretty low, but I don't know. We'll have to see what happens. The Casey Kane thing. Who knows where he's going to land? Like you said, Chris, there's a lot of high profile drivers that might have a forced retirement that they may not have a choice. And Daytona with 32 teams is a great possibility, and that's sad. I never thought I'd see it go under 40.
Yeah, I definitely have an issue with being as less cars as what we see. And there's obviously there's money problems, and it kind of opens the door for a touchy subject. And I almost want to say that for the last 10 years we've overpaid drivers, but you know, we're talking about professional sports stars here. I don't dig the fact that they don't believe race car drivers are sports stars, that they're athletes. You get in the car and you do the skill that they do, and then you'll have a different opinion towards that. But I do believe that they're worth the value that they were being paid. But maybe NASCAR doesn't operate this way, and I think that bringing in these younger guys, you're setting the market at a lower value. And the interesting thing that I've seen this week is that, you know, they're going to get things prepared to move to these composite bodies all throughout the racing series. Do you think the composite bodies will have a negative or a positive effect? And I'll go with you this time, Craig.
I don't know. I'd have to look into it more. Like I said, I've not had a chance, but I'll look into it.
Well, just off the top of your head. You know, these are composite bodies. These are basically pieces that can, panels that can be broke off and returned back. It's not sheet metal. So it sounds affordable, right?
It sounds affordable, but it's also not a one piece. It almost reminds me of what the Indy cars from the way that you're describing it. You know, they'll break away easy. It's going to be more cost effective, possibly in the long run. Who knows? Will it make for better racing? That'll be determined at the end of the season, I guess, because everybody likes to make comparisons in the beginning. Oh, it's going to be great, and then, you know, 4 months down the road, they're pulling a political move, and they're.
This is definitely not something, though, that's new to racing. These composite bodies have been basically being used in other forms of racing, including dirt tracks. I think that you will see a mass introduction of 3D printers. I do know that Roush Racing has a 3D printer. Of course, guys, if you don't know what a 3D printer is yet, you need to go and see one because it is the future. I know that 10 years ago when it first came out, people were thinking, how in the world is this going to change? You know, what is the big deal about making plastic and all that? But the 3D machine, the 3D concept is definitely the future. And basically what they're able to do, guys, they're able to print, manufacture, and design and manufacture their own nose pieces and other panels that are basically bolt on, and so you know, it seems to be that there's going to be a new market for these 3D printers. I know that Roush Fenway Racing, they've already had their 3D printer for several years now, and I think that, you know, this is a direction to lower the cost and to lower some of the money that's put into the teams. Of course, they're still going to have their engineers. They're still going to try to tweak on certain things on the car. But from what I understand, this has a cushion panel up underneath. It's a comb-based panel up underneath the panel. So they're going to have to if anybody tries to manipulate the car whatsoever, the crush cones inside the panels will be moved. So I'm sure that there's engineers at race shops right now trying to figure out a way around this. Mr. CJ Sports, have you been carrying on? Have you been caught up in this this new composite body?
I'm not, but I'm trying to understand as I'm listening. So am I getting this right? Basically, it's a cheaper body but breaks away easier. Is that what I'm getting?
Oh, of course, yeah. Anytime you're dealing with plastic and sheet metal, plastic's always going to underbid sheet metal. And this is basically, instead of rivets that they've used for years to place steel onto the cage or to the car, this will be a bolt-on type scenario where they'll have certain panels and basically the car will be pieced together. It's really no different than the way the cars are manufactured these days. As a matter of fact, there's a lot of plastic pieces that are on cars these days. And you'll be surprised sometimes when you're like, oh, wow, that's not even metal, because it's really hard to tell. So I think that this is a move in the right direction. Go ahead. Please.
I'm trying to visualize a cheaper product. I see what damage is done on a day-to-day, you know, race scenario. So I'm trying to get an idea because I'm visualizing today's this weekend Darlington, which is common to have a Darlington strike. Now, we see what damage and how the cars get beat up with the sheet metal. how reliable, how durable is this? Is this going to change things where we're not going to see a Darlington strike? We're going to possibly see a fender missing from a, what normally would just be a strike? I mean, what I'm wanting to know, if you know the answer to, how much difference is the quality, how much less durable is it going to be? How's it going to affect the racing?
Yeah, I definitely like your point there, CJ Sports. As from what I understand, Toyota has tested these panels, and the GMS team was most recently the ones that tested it. They will be debuting it later this year in the Xfinity Series at a short track. I'll make sure that after the show I find the article and post it on the website there, on the Facebook page at 110 Nation, and give everybody kind of a catch-up on and mayonnaise on what's going on. But, you know, I did just say ketchup and mayonnaise. And can you pass the mustard over here, please?
That's a nasty combination, ketchup and mayonnaise.
Yeah, but I had to throw you guys off there for a minute. So, obviously, Craig Moore was not ready for the show this week, but given I know this man and his credibility is good, sorry that you haven't had a good week there. You've been feeling bad. But now this is a topic that nobody's missed this week. Chase Elliott steps out of the shadows of Jeff Gordon. And then he steps off into the number nine, his father's protege. His father, he's, of course, the protege of his father. Guys, what do you think about William Byron being the new number 24, being the 24? Is it any pressure?
No pressure at all.
Not for this kid. Go ahead, Craig. I know you got some comments on the 9 and the 24 shake-up.
Nope. You know what?
Nope.
I kind of was waiting for it to happen.
Yeah?
I was kind of, can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, you're loud
okay.
and clear, my brother.
All right. I was kind of waiting for it to happen. I was wondering why it didn't happen sooner, and I get it with car owner points and all that stuff. But I wasn't shocked at all when I heard it. As far as the 5 not being used, yeah, they're, like we just said earlier, they're going to repurpose those cars for Casey Kane in the 95. But I think it's good. I think that,
wait a minute. You're saying that he's going to get the same junk cars that he's leaving at Hendrick?
Hell yeah.
You'll hear it tonight. I'm racing with Big Sweat. I tell you what, we're not holding it back. Go ahead. Let me hear some more of it, Craig.
So, now you got Byron going over to the 24. Gordon said this, and it was said on Race Hub several times this week, several times in the last 24 hours, that the 24 has been synonymous with young drivers. Jeff Gordon back in 91, 92, up until he retired 2-3 years ago. Chase Elliott, and now William Byron. I think you're going to see good. I think you're going to see good things from this William Byron. I'm going to say probably he'll win a race within his first 6 weeks. I really think
William
so.
Byron basically says straight up 56 minutes ago on the NASCAR page, it's been a dream come true to have the number 24 now. Well, I go figure. I go to quote something and then I have to carry on the legacy that Jeff Gordon established. That was William Byron talking about stepping in the 24 car. Does this kid feel any pressure?
Oh, you know he does. You know he does. And how much will us, the media, put on that? I'm thinking a lot, just like we did with Chase Elliott in the 24, just like we did Austin Dillon in the 3. And it's no different than Chase going into the 9.
I was going to say, with the pressure of him going into the 24 and him transferring to now the 9, what would you feel had more pressure, carrying on the 24 legacy or his father's legacy of the number 9?
I'm going to say the 24 because the 9's been out of the sport for quite a while. It's been out of the top tier of NASCAR for a few years, whereas the 24 has not. The 24 is there each and every race, and you've seen the new driver. It took me a while to get used to Chase Elliott being in it. I still have a heck of a time with Austin Dillon being in the three. But the nine hasn't been used in years, and probably I think it was since Ray Evraham. So what's that?
No.
Marcus Ambrose.
Oh, yeah.
Sam Hornish was the last one to use the nine the year after Marcus Ambrose retired. Go ahead.
Okay. So I think Chase will put the pressure on himself to do well, and I think us as the media will put pressure on him. But in the grand scheme of things, there's no big pressure. He's going to go out and he's going to run his races like he knows how to run. It doesn't matter whether he's in the 9 or the 24. This kid is going to be running in the top 10, top 5, and wreck a few cars, just like he has in the 24. For us to put any pressure on him, I know it's going to happen. But I think it's unwarranted pressure. Go ahead, CJ.
I think that Chase is under more pressure here than William Byron. Basically, he has to fulfill the shoes of Chase Elliott, not Jeff Gordon. Chase Elliott didn't win, so anything after his second place finishes is, of course, a win-win situation. CJ, what is your take on that?
I mean, that's an interesting way to look at things. I think there's going to be a lot of pressure on William Byron, and I think a lot of it's going to be valid. I mean, he got 1 year in the Xfinity Series. That's got to be a lot of pressure to go from the truck to the Xfinity and Cup, boom, 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 and expect it to perform, you know, at a decent level. I mean, this is Hendrick Motorsports. I don't care if you're a rookie or not. You're still expected to have a certain finish and be in a certain place in the point. And so I feel there's going to be quite a bit of pressure. I think, yes, there's going to be added pressure because it's 24 that people are going to try to put on it. But I still think there's a lot of pressure on him just because everything just went so quick. And I don't think he has quite the experience. I honestly thought this William Byron move was going to be maybe another year down the road kind of move, not next year.
No. You tried to convince me at the beginning of the year that this move was already in place. Casey Kane wasn't coming back. And Hendrick was going to put his money on three young talents under the age of 25. Now, I can deal with the fact that when you start backtracking, I'm not gonna let you do that. Because I know that we all felt that William Byron wasn't prepared to be in this situation. But it's almost as if Hendrick has to make this move. And I'll tell you guys why right now. Exalta did not really connect well with the Dale Jr. situation. They were, of course, Jeff Gordon. It was DuPont. Exalta become, you know, basically that was a long-time relationship with the 24. So when Gordon retired and Napa come along, Exalta moved over to the 88. Well, the 88 had a full-time sponsor with Nationwide. But, of course, that was able to fill a hole there that even Dale Jr. had. Now you're looking at Exalta going back to the 24. They have been William Byron's, basically, his sponsor in the Nationwide, I mean, in the Xfinity Series. So what this opens the door up is for Nationwide to really sponsor the Bowman. You got Exalta behind William Byron. And Chase Elliott was able to kind of make his own groove in the number 9 car, of course, with the backing of Napa. Which I want to say with Napa, they have, I believe, the whole year signed up for that car. Napa doesn't normally allow too many other sponsors to come along with their package. I do believe they're fully committed as a full-time sponsor to Chase Elliott there in the number 9. But I believe Chase Elliott has put himself under even more pressure. I would have questioned why you were taking me out of the 24 car after putting me in the 24 car, because Chase had the chance from the word go to take the number 9. Sam Hornish said that he would relinquish the number. Even Richard Petty Motorsports said that they would allow Chase to have the number if he wanted it. Of course, it was discontinued the year after, so this move seems more like a situation where Exalta wanted to stay with the 24 and they had their guy William Byron coming up. I really think that Hendrick made a lot of these moves based off of what his sponsors said that they were willing to do. CJ, I know that you've got a point on that, don't you?
I mean, you make a lot of valid points. And, you know, I obviously, you know, we knew the moves were coming, and you know, I have to be on the right side of it, but I'm still kind of surprised. Like I said, there's going to be a lot of pressure on William Byron, but, the way you explain that, it does make a lot of sense.
I still want Larson over at Hendrick Motorsports. So, Bowman's on a one-year deal, guys.
Still
he's
not
being given enough confidence even in the contract to be there in the 2019 season. And Larson's over here looming with sponsorship problems. I could see, where my prediction is just a year early. Go ahead, CJ.
It's not happening. If there was ever a chance that marriage was going to break up by Chip Ganassi giving Larson the go ahead and go do the sprint car thing, and then he came back and won that next race, and he thanked him in victory lane for allowing him to keep on until 2 o'clock that morning, run into Nationals and finish in second place, that right there, that was the cherry on the top. Like, it has to be exactly everything he wants. There's not going to be a divorce.
Okay, if you wish it enough, Craig, does it come true?
No. No, that's like if we're in the woods and nobody else is around and we say something, are we still wrong in a woman's eyes? Absolutely.
No, we're always wrong.
I say that.
That's my prediction. I've always felt that Larson is basically putting his career at the tips of Chip Ganassi when Chip Ganassi is renting the equipment from Hendrick Motorsports. I would feel that Larson would feel a lot better about his future if he was directly dealing with Hendrick himself. And, very rarely do you have a talent that could deal directly with Hendrick. And I'm just not sold on these three drivers under 25. Of course, now, guys, we've got the closing of the regular season. I mean, it's crazy. We're going into Darlington. We've got Richmond left. There's about four guys that still need to race themselves into the chase. Mr. CJ Sports, do you have your notes ready? Who's gonna get themselves locked in? Who's gonna be out? Clint Bowyer in or Chase Elliott in?
I think Chase Elliott. And I think Joey Logano will find a way in.
Craig?
I'm going to go. Logano's going to be sitting home, preferably, and not be watching it from the top 16. He's going to be watching it from 18th place.
Wow.
I'm going to say Chase Elliott. He's going to make it.
Chase Elliott in.
I've got Bowyer,
and I've got Kenseth making it in, guys. I foresee this was predicted at the early part of the year. Logano caught early incumbent win. This was going to really hurt him, and guys, it has been a nightmare ever since. It's like they pulled the confidence right out of Joey and right out of the team. It's a sinking ship fast, and we know that those Fords are fast too. So, this could be all hypothetically, but it does seem like there's issues there at the 22 camp. And I'd be very, very worried about it because confidence is everything in racing. And if Joey loses his confidence, then we may see a backtracking of, he's obviously had this problem before and it happened at Joe Gibbs. Now we're seeing the kind of the balloon pop here at Penske. We could see a downward fall of Joey Logano. And that's so unexpected from a guy who we've waited to blossom. But just because he misses the chase this year doesn't mean that he'll miss it from now on. But so Matt Kenseth is going to claw his way in. And Clint Bowyer comes up with a win at Richmond. So I don't know if I'm calling for Matt Kenseth to win this weekend. But I guess I kind of have to. Matt Kenseth to win this weekend. Who do you have, CJ Sports?
I think Joe Logano finds his way into victory lane. I think
he's secure. So what, everybody else is going to wreck?
2 stones thrown today at CJ's.
I'm not a Logano fan. I would rather him not be in the chase, but I just find it hard to believe that Penske won't get both their cars. As much as I like Brad, I respect Brad for what he does with the flags, and he ends up selling them off and gives the money to the military. I have a lot of respect for Brad just for that alone. As a driver, if he wins, it doesn't hurt my feelings, but I don't cheer for him. Logano, I do not ever want to see him win. I don't want to see him in the chase. He's grown on me a little bit more as a person, but as a driver, I can't stand it all. But I will find it hard to believe that Logano does not find a way to fix his lane. As long as these two teams have been consistently for the last couple of years, and I agree, 22 has had a lot of bumps this year, and it's like they've not recovered from it. I just can't see him not making the mistake. I would be shocked.
Well, and I think that's a good call there, and one of us is going to be right this weekend. Craig, who do you have to win?
Jones.
Eric Jones. You know, and that's somebody that we've forgotten about, but definitely I can see where you're going here. This would be the second win by that Furniture Row race team at Darlington. Of course, it would bring back a lot of special memories when the team first won with Reagan Smith. I could see Eric Jones in victory lane, especially after his last finish at Bristol, second place, man. I mean, after his finish at Bristol, the last race, second place. The boy really, he's coming along there. Great talent. Can't wait to see what he can do over at Joe Gibbs Racing. That would bump, as a matter of fact, that would bump one of your picks out there, Craig.
Oh, absolutely. But that's, I really think that's going to be, I think that's going to be your race winner. You know what surprises me? As I'm looking down through the standings, Ricky Stenhouse has 2 wins, but he's 18th in points. Yes, he's in the chase and he's solidly in the top four in the first round, but I'm going to go out on a limb here and say he doesn't make it out of the first round.
Yeah, and Ricky, the situation with Roush Fenway Racing is something that we've heard continuously from Edwards and Kenseth since they've left, that there were just certain tracks where Roush just doesn't run good at. And of course, one of those tracks is Martinsville. That's going to be in the chase. New Hampshire, I believe, is another track that Roush just doesn't hit on very well. If they're going to be competitive, Ricky has 2 restrictor plate wins. So he's kind of restricted on if to
no
keep the
intended.
Words together there. Huh?
No pun intended.
No pun intended, but definitely if he's not capable of winning on different style tracks, then he could be a one and done for sure. We'll save those picks for later on. I am looking forward to the throwback. I've seen a 90 Alec Myers car. I also seen a 51 by Cole Ware. It's a mellow yellow throwback. But I believe my favorite so far has been Jamie McMurray and the old Donnie Allison #1. What was your favorite throwback that you've seen so far, CJ Sports?
I did like to know the other one. I didn't go through, and I know a couple people posted them on there, and I've not had a chance to sit down and look through them. I did see the Mellow Yellow one, and it seemed like I seen one other one. I can't remember what the other one was.
The credit one by Larson, I believe it was.
Not sure if it was the credit one. I know I saw the Mellow Yellow one. It seemed like I had seen one of them out of an interest.
I think my favorite is the #5 Levi Garrett. Well, it's Great Clips, but it's the Levi Garrett Casey Kane style car, but it's Great Clips.
Yeah, I think that one's pretty cool too.
As big as this race is, I think it would be really cool if some of the sponsors, or if not all these sponsors that they do a throwback for, would jump on board for that one race if they can financially do it. I mean, it's a highly watched race because it's a throwback. So I really wish some of these sponsors that, we all know who their flashback is. control back. I wish some of these guys or companies could step in and cover that one race just to really kind of bring back the old-time feel.
Yeah, I agree there, CJ Sports. And what I believe is that some of these guys have actually been approached, but unfortunately over the years and monopolization of the American economy, a lot of these, you know, a lot of these guys are no longer, they're called something else, or they're, you know, no longer in business, or they're owned by Procter & Gamble. And so there's not so many independent companies out there like it was in the 80s and the 70s. And that's been a tough situation for NASCAR to have to handle, especially over the last 15 years, where we've seen even more monopolization of the market and even less of choices to choose from. A healthy market always has competition, and unfortunately, Procter & Gamble and Philip Morris and R.J. Reynolds, they own about everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Three major
brands there that really extend themselves off to a lot of these companies that, you know, your Blue Plate mayonnaise and, you know, your Kraft cheese and, you know, your cigarettes, which you can't market on race cars, of course. But they also, you know, Philip Morris owns Miller Lite, I believe, and that would be the Coors Light brand. And then R.J. Reynolds, of course, you know, people think that he's gone from racing, but believe it or not, R.J. Reynolds is tied into the Farmers Insurance Company. So R.J. Reynolds is not gone from NASCAR. He's just using a different company that he owns to sponsor race cars. So that's a little fun fact right there. A lot of you will probably go to your Googles and confirm that information. It is confirmed. So there's a little FYI for y'all. I do like the fact that they've gone to the throwback tradition, and I do believe that it's great for racing. I do believe that it's brought attention outside from various sources and various different fans. One thing that I was kind of concerned about this year was a lot of these paint schemes that these guys are using are not relatable. They're not relatable to the number. They don't really look anywhere different than kind of the way that the style of cars are now. Now, some of them have hit it out of the park, you know, great branding. You know, even if it wasn't the same name, they were able to, you know, basically pick a cool enough design that set themselves out. Some of these older cars, I believe, some of the throwbacks that they have on the 70s, I think those are a little bit more harder to tell. But it's definitely going to be cool to see that 32 car Diamondetto out there representing that Miller Lite. And, guys, the MGD will be, Lady in Black will be on the track at Darlington. How about that black number 2 Miller Genuine draft car that Brad Keselowski is going to be piloting this week? Did you guys see that one?
I have seen that one, and that one's pretty cool. I also like Ty Dillon's, and that's a throwback. I think that's Pearson's old colors on Ty Dillon's 13, and that's pretty cool. So I really like this throwback weekend. I wish, and I mean, I know it's synonymous now with Darlington and Labor Day weekend, but I wouldn't mind seeing it, you know, maybe once more during the season. Or if you remember back, they used to do a special paint scheme for the All-Star race, and you don't see many of that anymore.
Yeah, that's where the Dale Earnhardt, as a matter of fact, most people remember Dale Earnhardt drove a black number 3 for 32 races out of the year. The only race that they threw a special paint scheme onto the car was actually the All-Star race. And then that kind of, in 92, that kind of set the trend. And then we started seeing guys go to multiple paint schemes throughout the year. But, of course, this was back when the cars were billboards, too, and somebody bought the whole year of sponsorship, and so the fans were able to relate to that sponsor. Do you think, before we go, guys, do you think that that these multiple paint schemes and all are more fitting for the brand of the market? In other words, they're the ones, you know, like Bell South always had their cool little colors or whatever. Have they controlled too much of that, and maybe we should see more of a traditional race car look and not so much of the colors of maybe the brand they're representing? Thoughts on that, guys, before we go?
CJ?
No, I mean, if I, you know,
Would the cars be more relatable? Let me put it like this, because maybe I've worded it wrong. Would the cars be more relatable if they didn't have so many different paint schemes throughout the year? Maybe that was easier.
I mean, it could be. I don't know. I like the different paint schemes. It's cool at certain times. It's aggravating because you got to remember what your favorite driver is driving this particular week as you're watching, I don't know, a shot of the front stretch, and you can see the whole field, and you're trying to remember what they're driving. But at the same time, you know, like I said, it's nice to have the different schemes. But at the same time, I like the tradition of, you know, there was one paint scheme. You knew that black number three, the B.F. Goodrich, you know, every week that's what that was going to be. You knew that the 24 was going to be the DuPont rainbow colors, and that was it every week. And you know, that's what you represented. That's, you know. So, I mean, I guess I'm kind of on the fence on that. I'm in that generation where I like the changes, and I guess I like them more than a lot of people of my generation because they like the old school NASCAR, but I'm also old enough to remember the old school and watch the old school NASCAR and like the way it was as well.
I don't know. I'm kind of one of these people. I don't like change very much at all. And the one person that has stayed consistent over the last 17 years is the 48 team.
Yep.
If you remember when Lowe's first started sponsoring cars, when he sponsored Mike Skinner, that was a god-awful, ugly paint scheme. But
yes, it was.
But you knew that paint scheme. You could look at that car on the track and you go, yep, that's Mike Skinner. Whereas now, like CJ said, you're watching the race, whether you're at the track or whether you're at home, you're watching the race going, where the hell is my driver?
Yeah.
Because remember, was it last year that all of Stuart Haas ran the same paint scheme?
Oh, gosh, that was horrible to keep up with who was the 14 and who was the 4 and who was the 41 and who was the 10.
Yes, and they thought it was a cool idea, but in retrospect, it was a cluster. Can you imagine being the announcers up in the booth trying to keep track? I mean, I'm in awe.
Yeah, I had 116 cars to keep track of 2 weeks ago. That was just street stock, so I can kind of give where you relate there, buddy.
You know, it's like you're saying that, and I was just getting ready to say that. At our local track, I admire our analysts upstairs in the tower because those cars are going by at 75, 80 miles an hour, 100 miles an hour, and they've got to be knowing their numbers. And if they change the colors every week, you know, they change them, it makes it just a little bit harder to pay attention.
Yeah, and both of y'all, you know, y'all are right on the money. I do like the relatability to the drivers. I don't know if paint schemes really do defer the attention. As all of you said, there's been plenty of times that we've been caught off guard with a Dale Earnhardt Jr. paint scheme or a paint scheme from another car, or even Austin Dillon, where you're trying to find them in the race, and you've been looking past them every time because they didn't have on their traditional colors. I don't want to go all left wing on NASCAR. I think the NASCAR takes too much negative attention. It's definitely. They've made improvements, and I wouldn't want to control that. But maybe it's just a thought for some of these guys to stay traditional to their colors and only run, you know, a few paint schemes. Now, if the sponsor, of course, you know, if the sponsor is requesting, you have to do what you have to do in order to get the marketing money. But it's definitely something to look into. And like you said, it's never really hard to find the Jimmy Johnson number 48 out in the field. Nor is it hard to find the Hoo Hoo car driven by Jeffrey Earnhardt. How about his camera shots while he's racing. Is it? Does he just slow down after he gets out of the top 10 and lets the field catch back up to him? I want to know if any of y'all have noticed that.
Yeah, he's a very easy car to spot. one of my favorite cameras this season that NBC has had is the visor cam. I think that camera is just phenomenal. I mean, you get a little dizzy, you know, but you can actually, it gives you more of a feel than in-car camera strapped to the roll cage. Whereas the visor cam, you actually can see the head shake and the body and move, and granted you get a little nauseous, but
I cannot wait to see it on the motocross. I hope that they take that and they go put it on one of these motocrosses this year for the motocross season, because just the images that you get from the visor cam is stunning. I mean, it really gives you – it makes you almost feel like you're playing the coolest PlayStation game that you ever thought of. CJ, what's your closing thoughts on that?
I have not thought a lot of that camera stuff. I really never – I don't know. I don't pay a lot of attention. I'm not as excited about it as I get with the car. I've never been a big fan of sitting inside the car, the in-park camera as well. I guess.
Okay. Well, guys, I guess we're out of time. I did not know that CJ Sports no longer was interested in NASCAR. That caught me by surprise. He doesn't like to watch cars. I don't know if he's going to be our producer next week or not. He seems to have taken a droopy lane somewhere. Do what?
I don't know. I just don't care for that angle. I just don't. I don't know. There's too much going on to be sitting there restricted inside one person's car. Like, there's just too much going on in the track.
Beautiful. Okay, so what you're saying is you like cars going in circles. You just don't like the visor cam. You don't really pay much attention to it. But I don't even know how we got on the visor cam. What was the question before that?
We were talking about camera shots, I believe. And then I brought up the camera. Then I brought up the visor cam. Because I figured,
Jeremy,
I figured I'd get my ADHD going before you got yours.
Beautiful. Well, Jeremy Clements put on a show for us this past Sunday, and congratulations to Clements Racing. They've come a long way. They raced a car that was 10 years old. They got the win. They got the W. They're in the playoffs. Guys, I'm really excited about what the Xfinity Series is turning into. I'm very excited about the upcoming playoff season, where we won't see any Cup drivers at all, and we're going to see the cream of the crop of the nation of the Xfinity drivers. I believe, I've always been a big fan of the Truck Series, and this is my final thoughts. The Truck Series has always been one of my favorite series, and I've always, been attached to Cup. It's always kind of been like the nationwide series. I mean, the Xfinity Series has always kind of been like that one series where it just didn't have any connectivity. I believe right now, with the amount of youth and the talent that's coming through there, and guys like Elliott Sadler and Reagan Smith, I really see some connectivity going on with this Xfinity class. And I'm really excited to see what the future holds for this class. I think that it's going to be a totally different ball game when we go into the playoffs, and an Xfinity driver has to win the race. Closing thoughts on that, CJ Sports.
I've never been a fan of the Cup guys riding on Saturdays, be it like Tom Brady playing for the Patriots on Sunday and playing for the Michigan Wolverines on Saturday. I've just not been a big fan of it. I understand the drivers like it. They like competing against the Cup guys. It makes them get better. I understand it helps put sponsors on cars and people in the seats, but, and I'm even a Kyle Busch fan, but to sit there and watch Kyle Busch dominate the other series like he has, it gets old. And so I'm a big fan of it. Plus, you brought in a whole new point system, and you let the Cup guys still compete in the Xfinity series. And what was the point of changing the point system there? that whole system's not working with the Cup guys winning the races and winning the stages all the time. It's just not working. So I don't want to see the Cup guys on Saturday. I just don't. So the quicker they eliminate them out of the truck in the Xfinity Series, the happier I'll be. Plus, we've seen a couple races this year without the Cup guys, and we see how competitive the Xfinity guys are. And you take away two or three guys that dominate the whole race and let us just zero in on all the great racing instead of being zoomed in and Kyle Busch with a five-second lead every single week. We'll learn to appreciate and be fans of these drivers even quicker than we end up being fans of them, because they'll have more camera time. We'll get to see this great racing that we're missing because of Kyle Busch and his sponsors got to be on TV a certain amount of time to make everybody happy. So the quicker they get eliminated, the happier I am.
So as Eeyore said, he's got to be really happy. Craig, what's your closing thoughts?
You know what? I have to agree with CJ. It's great, and like CJ said, the drivers might like it because they get a chance to race around the Cup guys, but they don't get their time to shine. They don't get their time to show us what they can do or their sponsors, because like CJ said, and he's a Kyle Busch fan, so you got a Kyle Busch fan saying it, it's got to be true. It's like if it's on the internet, it's got to be true.
It ain't no lie, baby, no lie.
Ain't no lie, baby, by the thanks. and it would be the same way if it was Dale Jr. running it, and I'm a huge Dale Jr. fan. It would be the same way if he was running the Xfinity Series all the time and winning. You get tired of that. You get tired of seeing Jimmy Johnson win all the time. You get tired of seeing Kyle Busch win. And I just think it'll be great for these guys to go out and prove their worth on their own. And like CJ said, they've got to win. Mike and I had this conversation 2 weeks ago when it was Mike and I. That how do you divvy up the points? If Kyle wins, who do you give the lead points to? You know, it just makes it that much more difficult. So I think that the Cup drivers not being allowed to run in the chase format with these guys, it'll make them shine. And who knows? We might see a star, and we might see a diamond in a rough in the next couple of weeks in the Xfinity Series to go, hey, he might deserve a Cup ride. Granted, Cup cars and Xfinity cars are different, but he did it with William Byron. So, I personally think that was a little too fast. 1 year in truck, 1 year in Xfinity, and now we're running with the big boys. I can see a lot of torn up race cars. I just have that bad feeling. It is what it is. We'll see what happens. I think that it's, like I said, I think it's great for the Xfinity guys. They'll get to shine. They'll have to pull their head out of the rear ends, and they'll have to drive. There's no doubt about it. Listen, before we get out of here and before you say your final things, I just want to give a shout out to I sponsor a limited sportsman car up here up at home, and Morty Music does, and he is tied for the points lead with a young lady, and I can't remember, Cassie Bellin, I believe her name is. And double points this weekend at Glen Ridge Motorsports Park. And then the following weekend is More 2 Music Night at Glen Ridge. And I'm sponsoring the night. So huge shout-out to my buddy Mike Jackson and Team 1H. And I told him that if they brought home the championship, I'd let them buy me dinner.
Hey, yeah, that's a good deal there. I'm not shocked.
Listen, I'm so tight, I squeak when I walk.
Awesome. Well, I tell you what, don't forget tomorrow night's Hot Laps with Stats. Mike Perricone will be on the air. He'll do a Steve Billmeyer special. I'm looking forward to seeing who he has on as his guest tomorrow night. That is posted on the 110 Nation. We want to thank all of our live listeners for listening to the radio version, the audio version. And, of course, guys, we'll be back again next week. It's not November yet. We still have quite a ways to go, and just we're counting down the episodes now. But I do want to thank all the staff here at the 110 Nation. Of course, the behind-the-scenes people, Ms. Lee Reed, also Mike Perricone, who doesn't ever miss a show. We thank you for being a big fan there, Mike. and all that you do for the 110 Nation. Also, Mr. CJ Sports, I just looked at my Facebook feed, and he had to go about 25 minutes ago. So I appreciate you sticking around, Mr. CJ Sports. Craig, you've been a great addition to this operation, and we look forward to continuing that relationship on in the future. I want to give one more shout out to Lindsey Robertson. Happy birthday. We all keep Steve in our prayers. Tomorrow's 9/1/17. So 91. How about you, Big Steve? Big Sweat, Steve Billmeyer. It's never been easy to fill your shoes, and I don't believe that I ever have, but I have carried you in my heart and my soul ever since you've left us, Steve. So we miss you a lot, man. And if you tuned in from heaven, just understand that all this is because of you, man. We appreciate everything that you've done for us when you were here. So that'll conclude tonight's episode. We'll be on the same bat town, same bat place. Next weekend, we went a little bit over our hour, but it's been a while since we was able to sit down and talk about some asphalt and have a driver interview. So really privileged to have that. Looking forward to bringing on guests throughout the end of the season here. Of course, if you're anywhere around Hattiesburg Speedway tomorrow night, we'll be racing. They'll have a benefit for the Texas people who've been devastated in the recent hurricane and floods. So if you're anywhere around the Hattiesburg, Mississippi area, Hub City, go down there to Hattiesburg Speedway and check them out. Or if you're at North Mississippi on Saturday, head on up to Magnolia Motor Speedway for their race this weekend. I believe it's called the Fall 40. They'll start three wide street stock cars. So, guys, we want to thank y'all for listening. Didn't mean to hold y'all for too long. Okay, yes, and Craig said Chad Edwards, a local driver from his area, is willing to be a guest next week on the show. So, well, we'll check into that and get Chad a time to come on and talk to us. And like I said, I wanted to thank the staff more than anything around us. I kind of dropped the ball on you guys this week. I didn't know what I was being pushed to. And if I'd have known, if Steve would have just told me, hey, it's my daughter's birthday, I want you to do this big, I think I would have been a lot better at it. But sometimes you just drop the ball, and, of course, I've got great team members that pick me up. So, guys, I hope that y'all are listening next week to the Racing with Big Sweat. And, of course, we are always going to keep you filled in with the news throughout the week. But we want to thank y'all once again, and good night. Thank y'all. Thank you.